Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this episode is TFG1 Mike, someone who hasn't been on the podcast in a while.
What episode number is this again?
323.
Aha, yes. It's been a long-ass while. I think I don't think I was on 316, but that would have been a stone-cold move. Yeah, I'm full of puns tonight, folks.
That's not very funny.
It has been a while. Has been a while. And a lot of things going on and medical and, God. I'm just going to say this right now. Let's hope I don't have fluid on the brain, because if I do, I have to go have brain surgery.
Yes. Yes, we hope you do not have that problem.
Yeah.
It's, yes.
I mean, I know I'm a bass ackwards kind of person, and, I'm screwy in the head already, but that could probably explain why if I do actually have fluid on the brain.
Crap. Yes. So.
Yes.
On a lighter note, if you can consider there being any, compared to that,
I have not come to light your darkest hour.
No, don't do that, please. this is also simulcasting on Twitch, which I'm experimenting with, and so everybody should be able to hear Mike and myself, according to my indicators on my other monitor.
Can you hear me now?
There's no video at the moment because, one, I'm
too ugly and I broke the cameras.
Mike doesn't want to do it, and I just don't feel like it tonight. Although, last week to the day, I didn't record anything, actually, last week. I just published the other half of the Booth Ninja episode that we recorded in one sitting, which was like a two-hour episode. So
sweet.
You got an hour each week, part one, part two, just because I didn't want people to be like, it's, geek homes in one episode and then movie trailers on the other. I played around with Twitch last week, and I did, I was attempting to do a live stream where I was going back to the past and looking, because... what started all this is I was working on my mom's laptop that's like 10 years old. And she was having Windows 10 problems, and I was trying to preserve the family photos and genealogy stuff that she'd had on there. And so I ordered a external hard drive, cleaned up the computer, moved everything to my external hard drive, which I haven't opened the thing in like 2 years. Like, I haven't taken it out. And I looked and I saw, because I used to have a lot of burnable CDRs that I burned from like 98 when they first were introduced on through to when USB flash drives came out. And so I used to save everything when I went to my dad's house, and whenever I would change something, I would just back it up because I didn't know, if he felt like upgrading a computer, if I was going to lose everything. And so, I would make these backups, and I had a lot of the same redundant stuff between multiple disks, and some of them didn't work anymore, and some of them did, and so these CDs were going bad, and I started dumping them to this hard drive, and so I dumped my mom's stuff to the same hard drive in waiting for hers to show up. And I discovered a lot of old websites I designed all the way back from the original Optimus Primal's Maximal Central, which was like I created it in 98 originally because there was a Transformers website called Maximal Central.
Wow.
And it went away around the end of Beast Wars and did not continue through Beast Machines. And I built, basically took their images, and then I built my own version of it on GeoCities. And it took a lot of figuring out things, and I got it to work. And it's prehistoric by today's standards, you know, using Java applets for menus and pre-WordPress and content management system. So it was very much, whenever you made something, it was, you had to copy and paste the layout and then keep building, and it sucked. So when you changed one element, you had to go into every page. So anyways, I was going through these, like all these different sites I built between 2000 and 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. Other than Predacon Empire, which I had a few backups through 2012. And so I was going through these and I was trying to show on the web browser, you know, pulling it up, and the streaming software would not display the screen for the browser. Damn. It would show anything else but that. And I was like, man, because I had an old emulator site I was going to show off. I was going to show like a couple of Transformers sites I built for other people, and sites I built for myself, just to kind of show like the evolution of things. And then I was going to go and use like archive.org and then look up like old Predacon Empire versions and old Geekcast Radio versions and kind of play around with it. And I go into it and I start talking about the first couple sites, and then I realize there's nothing on the screen. It's just a blank white screen with my face, you know, reacting in the one corner. And I'm like, okay, this is not, clearly not going to work. So I went into playing emulators and I played, the Sega Genesis one, to begin with, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie game, mm-hmm. on Sega Genesis. So I played the entire game. Mm-hmm. It took me about 35, 40 minutes to beat. And then I started playing Streets of Rage 2. Which, again, these were, you know, some of the games that were being called upon on Twitter when I put out the call. And I was playing Streets of Rage 2, and I started playing, and the muscle memory on the keyboard started coming back, because I have never played these on the actual Sega. I've always played them on an emulator. And so I started remembering moves that I did when I played it way back when. Now, the Power Rangers, the movie game, I did actually play on a Sega, but the other game I didn't even have. So I did that for a little bit, and then I started playing Pokemon Yellow, and then I started kind of just talking with the, you know, my head on the screen. So it was kind of entertaining and fun. I played that, did that for about an hour and a half last week. And then, I was like, you know, I should just kind of keep going with this momentum of doing the Twitch thing and recording the podcast. eventually I plan on, I'm kind of in a state of flux right now because of my job situation. So like, I would like to, get my green screen up behind me and figure out how to replace the big nasty wall behind me, or having a cat just randomly, you know, traipsing across a ledge. Yeah. Because that's been some of the most funny things that have ever happened on a record. But yeah, so I mean, I've been experimenting with a lot of different technology now that I'm unemployed and I have time to mess around. So what have you been up to since I've been yammering?
Oh boy, what have I not been up to? Well, I'm ready for winter to be over.
You and me both.
It's like, okay, so I know for a fact, like I know for a fact since I, you know, met and married Karen and all that and everything else. When we were in Louisville at one point, we had just had gone out to eat or something or other. We're back in the car. This is like August, or no, it was September, and it was still hot in Louisville, hot as hell in Louisville. It was 70, 80 degrees, but a lot of humidity. We had just eaten something or whatever and went driving somewhere. Well, I got so sick because of the heat, I actually had to have her pull over, and I actually puked on the side of the road. So, yes, I know Louisville is humid and whatever. I know Arizona is a dry heat kind of thing, but it's still heat. And I'm not sure, but like, I want a state where there's no winter. Like, I'm tired of snow.
Move to California. That's all you got.
Yeah, well, California's an expensive butthole kind of state.
Yeah, there's actually not a lot of cheap states. The one of the cheapest is Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But the job opportunities just aren't here.
Yeah.
I've been going through that whole situation, so I'm freelance writing is fun. I will say that.
Yeah.
Because you can do that from anywhere.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's I think I've written, I don't know, like I've written more articles. Like, I mean, you still put me to shame with how many you've done for Geekcast Radio. God.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing though. Like,
you've gotten behind.
I've all but almost quit, sadly. It's kind of very sad. I've just been in a really, and I'm not trying to bring the show down again, but it's just facts of life. I've been in a very depressed mood the last 3.5 months because I've constantly been sick. I've constantly not been able to get any energy or any ambition to do anything. I made it 83 full days out of the year out of 360. I was going to do a daily blog, TFG and Mike 365, one blog per day for each day of the year. I made it 83 days in, and I still have day 84 that I was kind of working on, but I pretty much deleted the drafts for 85, 86, 87, and 88 because if I'm going to continue to do it, I'm not going to just go back and do those days. I'll start at whatever tomorrow is or whatever day, you know. But I, at the beginning of the year, I'm like, okay, it's a new year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to cut back on the podcasting because it seems like nobody listens to anything I do. So whatever. And I'll start doing this more for myself than anything else. But at the same time, you still want people to, you know, notice it and whatever. And some people noticed it, some people didn't, and whatever, it is what it is. But yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's been one of those times. I will say that I'm starting to come out of my depressive funk.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been nice. Because I at this point I've been unemployed. In about 2 weeks, I'll have been unemployed almost 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucks. And so it's been tough. And, you know, getting laid off twice in the last year is like, the first time I was kind of like, I don't know, last April, I could feel it coming.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel it coming. I knew I was going to get laid off. It was a matter of when. And I was getting a little frustrated, you could say, with who I was employed with at the time. And I had no ill will. It was just, I could see, based on the direction they were going,
mm-hmm.
nothing was going to get accomplished. Nothing I was setting out to do to grow the impact or to organize things or the communication, nothing was going to happen. And I could tell that as far back as like February of 2018. And so I started kind of poking around looking for work and then realized that, you know, come to June, I get canned. Because, you know, company restructuring and everything else. And so they just were consolidating. And it was no, like, ill will, like, nothing I'd done or anything. And they even said it. They just were, you know, trying to appease the corporate shareholders. And so it was just kind of a, you know, just sorry about your bad luck. And they did take care of me on the way out. They did give me a severance. They did way more than the previous employer I just got done from did for me.
Yeah.
They let me finish out the week because I'd never given them any reason to doubt my capabilities. I gave them everything they needed. I was pretty much on call for like the next month. So, I mean, they did take care of me and my family, which was great because by the time my severance ran out, I had a job. And so I was only unemployed like 5 weeks there. And it took me a lot to let go of the stress of it. And I finally, like 3 weeks ago, started letting go, started getting phone calls.
There you go.
Like the moment I start to let it go. And so that was kind of great. And I've been doing a, like depression class thing online that's been kind of helping me. And so, like, I mean, I'm not suicidal or anything. I don't have any of those thoughts or anything of harming myself or any, or anybody else. I just, the ambition to do things I enjoy or did enjoy were gone.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with me.
So like, it's definitely relatable with you in that.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I've been kind of going back to it. I've been, between the writing and that's been keeping me busy. Although, somebody from that just got let go that gave me the assignment. So I won't get anything again until next week, which was unfortunate. It's going to hurt my pocketbook a little bit. But, I write consumer electronics, so it's been a lot of fun getting to learn, new things like, you know, hidden cameras or, you know, better Wi-Fi results or, you know, privacy breaches or different streaming services. I get to learn the whole ins and outs of doxing, which, you know, the revenge online stuff, like that's been interesting, or hiding you're actually hiding your browser history from your ISP so that you don't get your information sold to, you know, the highest bidder.
Yep.
So, I mean, I've done a lot of different, man, they keep moving around this one article. I'm looking at the calendar. Sorry. They keep moving around this one article. I wrote it 3 weeks ago and every time it becomes relevant again, they drag it around in the schedule and move it to somewhere else. Probably to get traction. I don't know, but yeah, so I mean, I've been enjoying that. I've been kind of keeping up with some of, you know, catching up with some of my shows, kind of trying to play, go back to some of the things I enjoyed like 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. Like that's why I was kind of jumping back in the emulators. Like I found a PC version of a Mega Man X 4.
Oh, wow.
And I don't even know where I got it at the time because, you know, torrent sites were not really a thing. It was just, I was good at scouring. I think I got it on like Kazaa or something at the time. And or like WinMX or Morpheus or something. I don't know.
Old as long as you there. Didn't get it from LimeWire.
I think I got it from LimeWire. Maybe. I don't know. I use them too. Wow. Jesus. I just was really good at picking things out. I was also good at virus removal. So that was another thing. Yeah, so I mean, it's a PC version. I don't even know how it exists, but it does. And it's got the save games in it, so I can play just the bosses, or I can start a new game. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun trying to relearn that. Sweet. But yeah, so I think we should get into the actual episode at this point.
Well, we've been in the episode. That is true. We've just been talking about personal life stuff.
Yes.
And if you can't be honest with the audience, then why the hell are we doing this, right?
Exactly. So, one of the fun things here that I figured we could kind of discuss is the new Disney Plus streaming service.
Sign me up yearly.
Yes. I can see that being a thing. So we've had pretty much Netflix has been like the go-to monster for years in this territory. And, you know, we've got Hulu. Hulu's good, too. There's, you know, basically there's one for about everything now. You know, you had HBO Go. You got CBS All Access. You got, you know, you got PureFlix. You got Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, Prime Video. Yep.
And then everybody else is starting to come out with, like, Walmart has one. It's like Vudu or something.
It's
like
Vudu,
that.
Yeah.
And
Vudu's been around for a while. It hasn't been around as long as Netflix or whatever, I don't think. But it's basically like, okay, so let's say you're shopping in Walmart and you go into the electronics department and you see a movie from 20 years ago or whatever on the shelf for like $5. Well, as long as it has a little Vudu thing on it somewhere, you can buy the disc for $5, go home, take that digital code, put it into the Voodoo thing, and bam, you have it digitally. You've only spent $5. Whereas if you buy stuff or rent stuff on Voodoo, buying stuff on Voodoo ranges various prices. Most of the HDX movies are like $20. So, you know, if you want to watch, well, I know one of your favorites. If you want to watch Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls, you know, with the bat guano, worst Ace movie ever. You know, if you want to watch that on digital, whatever, and it's not available on Netflix, it's not on Amazon, it's not on whatever, and you go to Walmart and you find it for $5, bam, $5 digital copy, easy. So
yeah, I had to. What's funny is I didn't realize how many of these services were out there.
And yeah, there are a lot.
The great thing is my article is like that I wrote on it was a very hot article. With like over like 16,000, like, I don't know. It's got the little hot symbol on it.
Yeah, the little reads or whatever
little,
it is. Yeah,
the little, yeah, anyways. Because I wrote one mid-March about like 5 sites to get free TV without any streaming costs. And then I pulled up like Sony's Crackle. Mm-hmm. And what was funny is when I went and got screenshots for all of these, I purposely grabbed like movies that I've watched at some point. When I was digging through their stuff. So anyways, Sony Crackle, you know, they're free with, you know, commercials. It's ad supported to allow it to be free. And, you know, there's no offline. And it's a pretty cool option. Then they've got like Tubi, which T-U-B-I, which I've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, they have a section on it called, you know, not on Netflix or leaving soon. And they have like a rated on Rotten Tomatoes section, which I was... You know, like, bleh. But they have a lot of other sections. Like, they have, like, a Shout Factory TV area. They have, like, preschool. They have, you know, a bunch of different things. And then there's, like, Pluto TV. YouTube does stuff. Voodoo, I took a screenshot of Star Trek 6 or 5. But, yeah, so, I mean, I was kind of amazed with some of the different services out there. But... You know, and AT&T is coming out with their own later this year, and so is Warner Brothers, yeah. which is kind of problematic for DC Universe.
Yeah,
because it leaves you to wonder if because you off air before we started, you were discussing of the CW.
Yeah, sadly, look. Okay, so here's the thing. I've used the CW app. And the CW app is free. It's not, it's, you know, whatever. It's tied into your cable provider thing. And I guess it's the cable, it's any of these other apps like TBS Go or Investigation Discovery Go or Discovery Go. I believe the ads are generated by whatever cable provider you have, Comcast, and in our case, the same as you guys as well. And these ads are like, they're just as bad as having ads on an actual television half the time. It's like 171 seconds of ads, which ranges to whatever math that is for minutes. But it's one of those things where it's just too frustrating. And the CW app is even worse because sometimes you can see, like, sometimes I've been able to forward a little bit and skip the ads. And then sometimes they'll have 7 ads for one break. And it's like, oh my God. Yes, I know technically there's 2 or 3 or 4, sometimes 6, 7 ads between breaks in actual television stuff, but the CW app, I just like, I don't know. Like, the whole reason why I like Netflix and Hulu, at least, well, Hulu, I'll say in a minute, but Netflix is the interface is easy. It's no ads. You know, I pay, what is it now, 12 something, 30, it'll be 13 something, whatever. But originally I had like the $7.99 plan originally, the 2-screen plan. Obviously it went up and up and up and up and up, whatever. But the user interface on Netflix is very easy. It's very simple. Same thing with Hulu. Hulu, before they changed to what they currently are on the website and on the desktop app, thankfully my phone still has the version right before this, but like now they have like, oh, pop-up and oh, this and oh, it's not a pop-up in the sense of an ad, but it's like, the shows pop up on the screen on the desktop, and it's like, I don't like that. I want the version I have on my phone still. And I just want easy user interface. And when Disney Now, the Disney Plus thing came out, everybody's like, oh, look, it looks like Netflix. I wonder frigging why. Because the Netflix user interface is the easiest user interface.
Yeah, I will say that out of any of the user interfaces, Netflix is by far the best. And I'm not saying that to, you know, be like, oh, I love Netflix. It's because it honestly is. The only thing I dislike about their current, because I'd stopped subscribing for, you know, a while. And then I recently got it again. The thing I don't like about it is it auto-plays the videos when you hover over anything or when you're on the main screen. And I'm like, I don't want any of this crap playing while I'm trying to find a show. So that's the only thing I don't like about it. But the menus, the ability to kind of scroll through things is probably the easiest. The ability to start a new episode while you're in an episode is very nice, nicely done. And because like I, you know, we have a couple of different other streaming services, and you have to, like, when you go full screen with one of them, you have to hit play again, even though you've just finished watching it. Like, if it's finished and you let it go through its, you know, finishing the episode thing and the screen goes black, you have to press play again and then hit the exit full screen to get it to even exit the full screen. And then you have to hit the back browser button to go to the previous you know, to the menu for that show and then select the next episode. It's really annoying.
Yeah. With Netflix, I've found that, like, I know you don't like the autoplay for when you're hovering over shows and movies and things. I don't like it either. But when you're actually watching a show or a film, like watching The Flash season 2 right now, I'm on season 3, I think. I'm rewatching it. I've seen it before, obviously. At the very end, it'll say, oh, play next episode. Or you can just wait 30 seconds and it automatically plays the next episode. Hulu does that as well. It has the play next episode, or if you wait, it'll automatically play it. Specific to WWE and what they have on Hulu for WWE Raw and SmackDown, what I don't like is, because those are concurrent weekly shows, the new episodes, when they hit the new episodes, sometimes they don't show up as new episodes, and I have to cycle through and select the right season. And then when I watch a new episode, it goes to the previous unwatched episode. I've been watching these things on Hulu for as long as I've been paying for Hulu, for however many, like, I don't even remember. I have to look at my Hulu, you know, account to find out when I first signed up for it. But we've been doing Mayhem Mikes for 4 years now, so I know it's been that long. It's just like I said, Netflix seems to work. And if that's the user interface that works the best, then just use that.
Yeah. And, you know, after having seen the picture of it, it looks cool because you could break things down by like Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, you know, National Geographic, and, you know, the list goes on. Because, like, they own pretty much anything you can think of at this point. What I liked about it was you're going to get, like, for instance, they're going to have on the initial release, you know, more than 7,500 episodes of television shows and 500 movie films, you know, films from the library of Disney. And then they're going to have even more, you know, boosting their catalog. So basically anything that could have been in the vault, anything that's been, you know, difficult to get, they're going to eventually have all of it, on there. You know, whether it's action movies, whether it's, you know, cause you're going to have anything that was made by Disney, you're going to have anything made by Fox, you're going to have,
Touchstone.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be funny in that regard, especially, you know, considering when they bought Star Wars, they didn't actually own the total distribution rights of A New Hope. Fox did. Fox, that was the only film that Fox owned, like, the rights to prior to. So it would have been problematic anyway for that. That's why, like, you don't really see much going on with that, because that was kind of a pre-Disney thing. But now, you know, they're going to have all of the, basically every Star Wars film is going to be on there. Every Pixar film is going to be on there.
And most of this stuff, not all of it, most of it is at launch. And for those that, you know, I mentioned earlier, $70 a year, sign me up. That you have two options with Disney Plus when it launches in November. You have $6.99 a month or $70 a year. What did I just?
So it's going to be, I mean, if you're breaking it down monthly, it's going to be $6.99 a month, which is, you know, less expensive than Netflix, you know, at their cheap option of the $9 a month for just the one streaming. And then it's cheaper than, you know, like Amazon Prime, but more expensive than Hulu at their cheapest. And so it's going to be, it's in the right ballpark, but it's going to totally, totally screw with Netflix, because they're going to also have like a new Timon and Pumbaa, you know, show. They're going to have like a new, The Mandalorian. They're going to have a bunch of new exclusive programming for that are going to draw. And that is supposed to have like the budget of like Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah. So here's the thing. If you do $6.99 a month, you're paying close to $84 a year. Why not? It's Disney. Like you just said, it's going to have everything we ever wanted. Disney, Touchstone, Star Wars, Marvel, Fox, whatever. Just pay the $70 a year, save the $14. Because you know you're going to, you know. And even if, I think if you pay the $70 for the whole year, I think if you cancel, potentially, I know normally, like, if you cancel your Hulu subscription, it'll say, okay, you have until the next, right before the next billing date to still watch. I don't know if that happens on the yearly stuff. It may not. But I'm just saying, like, $70 a year for everything that Disney is going to put out on Disney Plus, it's a no-brainer, worth it kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, it's going to be kind of extraordinary, to say the least, when it comes out, because you're talking the largest content library.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be nuts. It really is.
Yep.
So, but yeah, with that aside, we should probably talk about some trailer talk.
Yes, trailers. Oh, so emotional watching, you know, Lando Calrissian come back.
Yeah, I did like that. And the funny thing is somebody, did you see the meme?
Yes. You're not getting this ship back.
And he says, I'm getting my ship back. And Han's like, over my dead body. And then it shows Lando,
old
like,
Billy from
laughing. And he's driving the Falcon like, that's sure what happened.
Okay, yes, Harrison is still alive, obviously. But, you know, Han, the character, is gone. Sadly, we lost Carrie Fisher. So Leia is gone as well. I could not see Lando coming back any sooner than right now, than this quote-unquote final chapter, final story thing, whatever they're doing. And I have to say, I am glad that, I think it's Bob Iger that said it, or somebody over at Disney said that after the Rise of Skywalker, they're not shelving, but they're back-burnering Star Wars for a little while. Mm-hmm. I think that's good, because that gives them more time and more money to focus on the Muppets, which they've absolutely ignored.
No, they haven't really ignored it. They just haven't figured it out to do it right.
Maybe they need to hire Brian Henson to figure it out.
Maybe they need to. Yeah, I mean, I think that Jason Segel movie was pretty good.
Yeah,
it was the follow-up that was terrible.
Yeah, Most Wanted was bad.
Yeah, the first one
Animal
was good.
Animal had a few good lines in Most Wanted, but it was bad.
Yeah, so I mean, I enjoyed it. the first one, not the second one.
Yeah.
So that being said, I'm glad they're going in that direction.
Yeah. With Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I think it kind of needs it. Plus, I mean, they're basically, if you look at it, they're setting it up. Basically, I think Skywalker is going to be a new faith, like a new Jedi, without calling it Jedi. It's going to be, because they said, you know, the Jedi are dead, you know.
Yep.
You know, but essentially they're going to take on the name Skywalker.
Yeah.
Which will be kind of reminiscent of the comics and the books in a sense. Like, I mean, they didn't call him Skywalker, but it was kind of like the new class, the new Jedi order. Except in here, they'll call them, you know, Skywalkers.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. So.
Okay, you're going to have to edit this because we got a new message. Craig saying he hasn't heard anything for 5 minutes now.
No.
Great. Seriously? I know I'm talking into this thing right.
Joy. Joy to the world. Here, hold on just a second.
I'm sorry, dude. I just want to make sure it's...
Here, hold on just a second. And then let's do... Still here?
He still... is. Yeah, I am.
Here. Hold on.
Yep, heard that one too.
Wake up, Craig. Wake up. I've never had to do that before. We'll stick
with Skype for now.
Yeah. It's a good thing I'm streaming this on Twitch.
Yes.
So I can get it again anyway. So there we go.
Okay, well. I want to make sure because... I ain't using new technology if it's not gonna work. If it's not gonna function properly, I'm gonna stick with what works.
But yeah, so it's a good thing I have. So yeah. Come on, Craig. Why are you not here? Anyways, it doesn't matter. I can keep going because we have it recorded anyway. Cool. So. The other thing is I saw, like, the posters. Did you see how everybody was losing it over the posters?
Over the Star Wars stuff?
Yeah. Because whoever did the Episode 9 poster,
logo.
Yeah, they forgot to hit the enter key and knock the whole logo down, like, one spot. And then the December was totally different than the other two, so it didn't even clash with or, like, match it. Like, it was, like, whoever did this was, like, and ISIS, it must have been, like, a new hire. And they lost. They lost the original template. Man, I lost the template. I gotta start over. I did love the Palpatine moment.
Yeah, and...
even though it was canned, like, from a previous recording.
Yeah, I don't think...
I think he'll be back, though.
I don't.
I don't think it's a red herring. I think he'll be back. Just like I think that they're going to allude to the fact that Rey is like the other sibling of Kylo. I think they're going to retcon it. And then like he won't know and she won't know. And well, it was kind of a secret thing.
Didn't JJ come out and talk about that? Wasn't there an article? I swear I saw that on my Google feed about...
It said that the movie will only answer why her parents left, but not retcon who they are.
Okay, so...
But that could also be a lie.
Okay, well, I saw episode 8. I saw episode 7. So I don't remember them saying anything about who her parents
were. Well, Kylo said that they were filthy junk traders who sold her off for drinking money. That they're basically nobodies.
Oh, okay.
So, It's yeah, I don't know. He says, I will say there's more to the story of Ray's parentage than you've seen.
Mm.
Which could mean anything. This is the same guy that, you know, lied to us during the last one that he directed and was like, or no, he lied during
Force Awakens.
He did during that too, but he lied during Star Trek Into Darkness. That's not Khan. Well, that's not Khan.
Yeah.
That's John Harriman. We're like, yeah, baloney.
That's Ricardo Montalban's evil son.
Yeah, we're like, every time I see something that like makes me want to laugh or like is totally untrue, I do that that Mulan skit with Eddie Murphy as the snake. Dis on you, cow.
Yeah.
And so like I have fun with that clip anytime it happens. But speaking of dishonor,
don't tell me we're trumping everything now.
No, we're not going that direction.
I know.
Yet. The Avengers Endgame leak.
Oh my god. I haven't seen any of the leaks. Okay, I'm not...
You have to go to Reddit to see any of it.
Yeah, and I don't go to Reddit.
And Daily Motion.
Yeah, I... Daily Motion I use for stuff that I can't find anywhere else kind of stuff, but I do not use Reddit whatsoever. For me, Endgame has not been spoiled. I'll say this. I watched Infinity War and I was perfectly fine not having seen Black Panther or Doctor Strange or any of that. And yes, I know right now, as of now, they're on Netflix. I get it. I have not seen Ragnarok or any of that.
Oh.
It's not that I don't want to watch it. It's just that life has been happening to me too much over the last 2.5 years or whatever it's been. And I just don't have the time. I barely have time to assemble a podcast these days, let alone watch 3 damn movies or 4 damn, however many there are. So looking at all the Endgame trailers, my favorite one is the end it all or to the end TV spot, because it does not really give anything away. It basically highlights the last 11 years of the MCU with giving you brief glimpses of where the characters come from through each film that got released in the order that they got released. And then it gives you some stuff that we've probably already seen in other trailers for Endgame of new footage. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the trailer and for what it is. And, I don't know. I mean, I looked at the Reddit, because I mean I did it during The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. it's not something like when the Rise of Skywalker comes out, or close to it, because something's gonna get leaked right before it comes out. I'm gonna probably find it. and yeah, so I know exactly what they're going to do in this movie just by watching the footage. And it's a lot of timey-wimey time travel stuff. Like, obviously, everybody knows that. I'm not telling you who does what or how it happens.
Right.
It doesn't show whether any of the original three die or anything. Like, there's no clips of that. So, like, it's not really spoiling that. There's nothing on there about that. So it's hard to say. It's hard to say what's going to happen there. It's kind of crappy it happened, but, you know, you kind of have to come to believe it's going to happen at this point in time. And they're like, you know, websites are like, massive blow for makers of Avengers Endgame. Or, you know, other weird clickbaity titles that it's not going to make a difference. The people that are going to see it are going to see it.
Yeah.
And it's already raking up in the you know.
Oh, yeah, that movie is going to make $1 billion easy.
Yeah. So, yeah. it's crazy. So, regardless, But since we're on the subject of people that are, you know, dishonor.
It's daughteronomy.
This is bad, you know, comedy. Mm-hmm. So anyways, you mentioned how a particular woman said that Star Wars fans are undateable, which makes me think of that Idiocracy clip where they're like, he's unscannable. You know, at the beginning of the movie when the guy goes in the future. So anyways, you know, she basically called out fans of shows and says, you know, Star Wars and superhero movie obsession culture has revealed a whole new population of undateable men, might be worse than men who wear cargo shorts. And then somebody else said, you know, I'm so sick and tired of women bashing men for having interests because they think it is cool, isn't cool or masculine. And this goes for anything. Let men be excited about things. Let men be passionate about things they give a crap about. And, you know, it says, you know, the article says Trump supporter, you know, the funny thing is like, I know plenty of people that are Trump supporters that are like super excited for all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And don't make any of these kind of claims. And they work for some of the, like, the big organizations, you know, media websites.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
I kind of get it. I'm going to flip her on her ass.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I always have to find a way to bring it back to Funko. But I've been doing the Funko Pop collecting thing for about 2.5 years now. I'm in at least 5 different Funko Facebook groups. Yes, they're action figures, whatever you want to call them. They're collectibles. They're this, they're that. You know how many women I see in these groups that are talking about why they love what they love kind of a thing? And it's not just Funko. It's not just toys. It's anything. I see plenty of women doing reaction thing. Like, I'm sorry. This woman is, frankly, a moron. And I don't care what her politics are. Saying that men are undateable because they enjoy something, that's ridiculous. That's like that thread that happened last year or something on Twitter that I got into about, you know, oh, you tell a woman you have a podcast, you're undateable. I doubt that.
Thing is most people don't even care.
Like, yeah, exactly.
My wife has had to deal with my podcasting, you know, since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, at times she doesn't like it, but that's not something like she tells me to, you know, to stop doing. It's something that's completely my choice. It's just, you know, I mean, the subject matter changes from time to time from what I talk about, but it's essentially, you know, I still podcast.
And hell, you even had her on for a while too.
Yeah, while that was short-lived, but yeah, it happened. But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that these people are out there online, you know, for ragging on people. Like, I get the whole thing of enjoying what you enjoy.
Yeah.
If it's not hurting other people, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, that's ultimately like your choice of what you enjoy and how you react to it. Like, I personally don't, I don't do the reaction videos because I don't have one of those, like, you know, crazy, like, you know, and then just lose it, like, watching the video. Like, and some people react that way for clicks. Some people react that way, you know, because that's just how they are. And, you know, if that's true to them and that's how they truly reacted to it, you know, more power to them, then that impacted them that much more. But, you know, I've never been impacted by something like that to the extent of going, you know, I might get really enthusiastic about it, but not have a giant reaction.
Yeah. Not overtly so. And honestly, I watch trailers, you know, by myself, and I'm not doing reaction videos to trailers. Cause I'm sorry. That just doesn't seem like a, especially for YouTube personalities, doesn't seem like it's a very monetary thing to do, because you're just potentially overreacting. Like, if you do something like what I know good buddy Optibotomus did, a couple of trailer reaction videos, like when the Transform, like I think it last night or whatever, he didn't do it like overreacting. He just broke the trailer down as he watched it and said, oh, I like that, or I don't like that, or, oh, I wonder what this is, or I wonder, like, he actually analyzed it. He didn't just, you know, scream at his computer because, oh my God, Lando Calrissian is back. And I mean, yes, get excited for a trailer. Get, you know, the whole, I've said this for years, the whole point of a trailer is to inform us of what the movie might be about. Yes, some trailers go too far. Some trailers don't give us enough, kind of a thing. But the whole point is it's an advertisement to see if you want to go see what it's advertising. Like, yeah. I've done this for years and I won't ever stop doing it. Making an initial judgment call on a trailer, whether I'll see the movie in theaters or not. Sometimes it's, oh, I'm not going to see it in theaters, but I'll see it eventually. Sometimes it's like, nah, that's like, okay, so perfect example. The new Chucky trailer dropped. I think as we record this, it dropped the day we recorded this. And Mark Hamill is the voice of Chucky in the new movie. I'm not a horror fan whatsoever. I've seen maybe two of the original Child's Play films from back in the day. It's not my thing. I get scared way too damn easily. I got scared way too easily as a kid. As an adult, there's no way in hell. I mean, I can barely watch Unsolved Mysteries at night in the dark. You should never do that, folks. Ultra Magnus is just way too creepy. You know, it's one of those things where it's not my thing, but because it's Mark Hamill, I want to see or hear his spin on what the Chucky voice is. And it's not until the very end that actually happens. So most of the trailer is blood, guts, and gore kind of stuff. It's this, you know, quick flashes of what, you know, happens in the film. Mark Hamill sounds creepy as hell as Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great. Doesn't sound too... I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't looked at it. I knew he did it, though.
Yeah. It doesn't sound too, like, it's not very Joker. Like, he's come up with his own version of it. It's not the Joker. It's not, you know, Hobgoblin. Obviously, it would never be Hobgoblin. But it's not like any other voice that he's done before. But it's still his voice kind of a thing. I love that he's in it. I'm glad that he's in it. I'm glad that he's doing something that he hasn't really done before. Like, I mean, the Joker stepping into the horror film genre, that's a big thing. I mean, granted, he's probably not, you know, it's one role. But it's one of those things where I saw that trailer and I'm like, it's Mark Hamill, but I'm sorry, Mark. It's the horror genre and that's not my bag. Like, I still respect it. Absolutely. It's not about him. It's more so about, I respect the genre, but it's just not my thing and I'm not going to see it. So I have to be able to see an advertisement to, you know, inform myself. Do I want to see this? Do I not want to see this? Yeah, so that's the thing with trailers. Like, that's the whole point of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, yeah, I really can't disagree with that, like, at all. Like, I have no interest in it because of where it's at. But, like, I know he's in another show where he plays, like, Merlin or something. It's, like, an A&E or, like, History Channel or something like that. Or Biography or something. I don't know. It's, like, a medieval show and he's, like, yeah, you know, one-eyed and, like, grizzly looking and, but it suits him. Like, he's got that old, you know, grizzly look to him in it, and it's pretty cool. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I respect the guy, like, for what he's done. And so, like, it's, you know, whatever he can get his hand in there, I mean, I guess that's cool too.
Yep.
So,
I think you're talking about Nightfall.
Yeah.
Plays Talos.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, he's like a Merlin dude. I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's cool though.
Yep.
So, is there anything you'd like to talk about or bring up on the show now that
I think
cuz we've kind of run through
it. I mean, we can do an ATTF at some point about the Transformers stuff, but, you know, whatever his name is, D. Bonaventure, or whatever the hell is, I don't know.
Lorenzo Di Bonaventura.
Yeah, whatever. I've seen stories in the last couple of months where he's saying, "Oh, we're rebooting with Bumblebee, or we're doing this, or we're like the Transformers 5 film franchise isn't like we're not continuing on with that." Okay, good, great. Well, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, kind of a thing. I don't know what he has said about Michael Bay, but I'm pretty sure Michael Bay, somewhere along the lines, I read something about he's not going to come back. And honestly,
I'm glad.
Honestly, for 11, 12, however long it's been, 13 years or whatever, 2007, I don't know, whatever. I can't think right now. I'm brain dead, folks, remember? I have fluid on my brain. He's Michael Bay in five movies he's made his mark on the franchise. He's made the franchise billions and billions of dollars. They can go out and get other directors and other, in the most case of the five films, better writers. You know, so who knows? I think that's pretty much it for now. Yeah.
So if you guys like this episode and you like the comments and the topics and you'd like to suggest something for a future episode, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at SCP21 or at AlterGeek. You get a hold of yourself, sir.
I am at TFG1Mike on Twitter or at Geekcast Radio for all the other stuff.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.